This morning we are continuing our series through the Psalms, and we'll be looking at Psalm 94. Psalm 94. So if you'd like to turn in your copy of God's Word. To Psalm 94. Hear now the word of God. O Lord, God of vengeance, O God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up and judge the earth. Repay to the proud what they deserve. O Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour out their arrogant words. All the evildoers boast. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. And they say, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. Understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who disciplines the nations, does he not rebuke? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord, knows the thoughts of man, that they are but a breath. Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law, to give him rest from days of trouble until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. For justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought, my foot slips. Your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Can wicked rulers be allied with you, those who frame injustice by statute? They band together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my stronghold and my rock and the rock of my refuge. He will bring back on them their iniquity and wipe them out for their wickedness. The Lord God will wipe them out. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. O Lord our God, we thank you for your word which gives light. And we thank you that through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, to us it gives life. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak your word into our hearts this morning. I pray that you would give me clarity and power, Lord, as I speak, so that your word might instruct us, might comfort us, might give us hope, and might turn us to the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. We live in a world that's full of injustice. We see the strong taking advantage of the weak. Perhaps you are gripped by the injustice in the world. As you read news stories, you hear about persecutions, you hear about oppression around the world, the way people in power, with authority, take advantage of the helpless, the defenseless, the weak. Perhaps you've been the recipient of unjust treatment, mistreatment. Maybe a boss who takes advantage of you or who has hurt you with seeming impunity, or someone who's been in authority or power over you. and you're gripped by a sense of injustice. This is not right. Why do the wicked get away with their oppression? Well, how do you respond? How do you deal with the fact and the reality and the hurt of injustice in your own personal life and the world around you? That's something that we can really, that you can struggle with. But in this psalm, we are instructed and we are given hope. This psalm teaches us how to handle and how to deal with a sense of injustice. And we'll see this in the psalm first through the prayer of the mistreated. The psalmist is one who's experienced that mistreatment, that injustice. And in this, we see his prayer to the Lord. We see the prayer of the mistreated, but we also see the comfort of the mistreated, and then we see the hope of the mistreated. So first we see this psalm opens up with this prayer to God. O Lord, God of vengeance, shine forth. This is a plea that the Lord would come and make things right. Now, perhaps you've come to this psalm in your psalm reading, and you've thought, God of vengeance, God of vengeance. That's, is God a God of vengeance? It's important as we're looking at this psalm to understand what vengeance is. And at the outset, I want you to understand that vengeance is not revenge. We can misunderstand that. Revenge is, it comes out of the excitement or passion of hurt. So revenge is the desire to inflict the hurt that you yourself have received upon someone else. Vengeance is the execution of justice. So we're not talking about vindictiveness arising out of passion, excited passion, but we're looking at the bringing of justice, the making of making right the wrongs, repaying those who have wronged what they deserve. We also see in this prayer that God is the God of vengeance. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And this is what we see in Scripture. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, as Paul quoted in our New Testament reading this morning. And that's what the Lord reveals in Jeremiah and Deuteronomy through the prophets. I am the God of vengeance, and I will repay. I will bring justice. You know, in our flesh, when we experience hurt at the hands of others, in our flesh, we naturally want to lash out against the ones who have hurt us. We want to take justice into our own hands and make the people who have hurt us pay for that. But we see here the psalmist in their affliction, turns not to scheming how they can get revenge, but they turn to the Lord in prayer. And that's the first thing that this prayer teaches us. When you suffer injustice, the Lord calls you to turn to Him. Jesus, the Lord, in 1 Peter, says that Jesus showed us an example in his own suffering. If there was a person in this world who experienced perfectly unjust suffering, it was the Lord Jesus. And what does Peter tell us? This is a gracious thing when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So the Lord Jesus set us an example. Now, when you experience wrongdoing at the hands of another person, or you see the weak being persecuted or mistreated, when you see an injustice, it is a good thing to be disturbed by that. It is right to feel a sense of injustice, because God is a God of justice. Right? He will bring right. He will bring justice and deal out the justice. It's not wrong to feel a sense, a desire for justice to be brought forth. But Jesus shows us, right, entrusting that judgment to the Lord. You trust that to the Lord. And in fact, you can pray for it. Now, in our flesh, it's not easy to entrust that judgment and justice to the Lord. But Jesus not only set an example, but he forged the footsteps in which we are called to follow. And he gives his Holy Spirit. And by his Holy Spirit, you can entrust yourself. You can entrust judgment into the Lord's hands instead of trying to bring it into your own. So we see here in this prayer that the Lord is the God of vengeance. And we are exhorted to take a sense of injustice to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bring about justice and entrust yourself to his care. Now, the fact still remains as we experience injustice and as we pray for it, injustice is disturbing. But the Lord grants his comfort to those who look to him. And that's what we see in the psalm, as the psalm continues. In verses 8 through 11, we see the first thing that brings comfort to the Lord's people is the knowledge that the Lord sees. The Lord sees every injustice. Now, the psalmist actually frames this as a response to the unjust. The unjust, it's one thing to be mistreated by someone who has authority or power, but it's another when that person boasts about it. The Lord doesn't see. I can do what I want because I have the power. And this is the injustice that is gripping the psalmist. But he responds, understand this, that the Lord does see. In fact, the end of verse 7 says, in the taunt of the wicked, they say, the God of Jacob does not perceive. And verse 8, the response of the psalmist is, he uses the same word, perceive, O dullest of people. You perceive this, that the Lord sees. Often it feels like the Lord doesn't see. Sometimes you wonder when you don't see God bringing justice, does the Lord know? Does he hear? But the psalmist gives us this beautiful assurance. How do you know that the Lord sees? How do you know that the Lord hears those unjust and those boastful cries of the wicked? It's because the Lord created you in his image, and he gave you eyes to see and ears to hear. That's an amazing thing to think about. That the Lord created man in his image. And so when he gave us eyeballs with the ability to take in light and then to see objects, to see what's going on, the Lord is just giving you something that reflects his sight. And when you hear and the sounds reach your your ears and your brain process, and you hear the noise of people walking by, and you hear the noise of things going on in this world. The Lord gave you that as a reflection of His hearing. So every time you see a car driving by, every time you see injustice, every time you hear the birds chirping outside, every time you hear wicked, boastful words, that's a testimony of the Lord to you. I see. I hear. That's both a call to repentance to those who are acting wickedly and boasting against the Lord, but it's a comfort to His people to know the Lord sees, the Lord hears. You remember at the end of Exodus when God's people are in Egypt and they're being oppressed by Pharaoh, and they groan and they cry. And what does the scripture say? During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel. God knew. God knows the injustices that you suffer. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in this world. Take comfort in that. But you say, okay, well, the Lord sees and He hears and He knows, but does the Lord care? I mean, if He cared, would He allow this to go on? Would He allow me to suffer this injustice? Does God really care? And this is what, the psalm comforts us. The psalmist comforts us with, again, in verse 10. He who disciplines the nations, does He not rebuke? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts, even the thoughts of man. Now, the particular translation here at verse 10 can obscure a little bit what this is saying. That word, he who disciplines the nations, disciplines can also mean to instruct or to teach. He who instructs the nations are the Gentiles, does He not rebuke? Now, what's the psalmist talking about here? He's talking about the nations around Israel who did not have the law of God, who did not receive the law, and yet still know that murder and oppression are wrong. They have a sense of that. As Paul says in Romans 2, those, although not having the law, not having the law given to Moses, they still act sometimes in accordance with the law, showing that the law is written on their hearts. So the nations around, right, all people have a sense that the abuse of the weak and the defenseless is wrong. But where did they get that knowledge? From the Lord, because they're created in His image. And the fact that people have an innate sense of the need for justice reveals that God Himself is just, that He will bring and execute justice. This is in our world, more recently in the secular sort of academy and in popular culture, there's been a movement of atheism, sometimes dubbed new atheists, who like to point out all the injustice in the world and say, see, there's no God. If there was a God, He would not allow these things to happen. This world came about by blind chance, and it's going on by a personal process of evolution. There is no God. And yet here, this is a reminder. Those same people who deny God's existence, who have a sense of the need for justice, a sense of right and wrong, reveal in their hearts that there is a God. If there were no God, we would have no concept of justice. We would have impulses. We would say, well, I don't like when certain things happen. But the sense that that a law has been violated when wrong is done and that it needs to be redressed comes from the image of God. That comes from the Lord. And it reminds us, right? Because you care about injustice, right? You care about injustice, that reflects, where did that care come from? It reflects God. I was speaking with a man who's professing atheist not too long ago, and he was saying, oh, I don't believe in creation, this world, Genesis, the Bible, it's all myth. This world, it all came about by evolution. But then he continued on about all of the terrible things happening in the world, the way that he's mistreated at work, the way that people who have power in our culture misuse that power to further their own selfish ends. And he was incensed about that. And he said, well, and unfortunately, evolution doesn't care about that. And I asked him, if evolution doesn't care, then why should you? Well, he cares because he's made in the image of God. And you know what that reflects? That God cares. God cares. So he sees, he hears, he knows, and he cares. But then, there's comfort in knowing that. And yet, you may say, yes, okay, I know the Lord sees, I know he cares, but that doesn't erase the fact that I am suffering now and that people suffer now. And yet the psalmist goes on to give us comfort. He tells us right here in verses 12 through 18 that though you suffer, the Lord is working through that suffering and he is with you in that suffering. He works through that suffering. Verse 12, blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law to give him rest from days of trouble until a pit is dug for the wicked. Blessed is the man whom you discipline. How does God use suffering? And God uses suffering, and he uses it to discipline and to teach. Again, that word discipline here, as we saw in the other verse, also has the connotation of instruct and teach. And you know, the Lord uses suffering to instruct you and to discipline you. We see that all through the scriptures. Remember Hebrews 12. Right? Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, because when the Lord chastens you and he brings you through suffering, you know what that means? It means the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. And he disciplines those whom he loves. Now, sometimes that discipline is bringing trials into our lives, bringing pain to help turn us away from sin in our hearts. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. I thank you, Lord, that you brought that affliction in my life. And you did it because you loved me. So sometimes he brings that affliction to turn us from sin. But sometimes he brings suffering into our lives to deepen our faith. James speaks about this in the beginning. He says, count it joy when you encounter trials of various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The Lord knows that you need endurance, and he produces that endurance by bringing you through testing. Testing is a trials. When you test silver, you take it through fire. You heat it up. And so the Lord, by bringing you through through suffering, is deepening your faith and producing that endurance that will carry you to the end. Now, sometimes he brings suffering in our lives to teach us to set our hopes, not in this present life, but in the inheritance that we have, the inheritance that is to come. This was the lesson of the psalmist in Psalm 73. He said, I look at all of the wicked, they're boastful, they're arrogant, and it seems like they have no troubles in their lives. Things are going well for them. They have everything they could want. Life is easy. And here I am, I believe in you, I'm trying to follow you, but I keep getting knocked down. I don't understand, Lord. And you know what he says at the end of the psalm? He goes into the house of the Lord and he remembers the end of the wicked is destruction. He remembers the end of the righteous. And at the end of that psalm, he says, Lord, in my suffering, you've taken away so much comfort. Whom have I left on earth but you? And now there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Whom have I in heaven but you, O Lord? There is none on earth that I desire besides you. Sometimes the Lord takes you through suffering so that your affections and your love would be set upon him and not your comfort. So the Lord works through your suffering, but the Lord is also with you in your suffering. And this is what the psalmist continues with here. We see verse 14, for the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. And you know, when you're going through that suffering, sometimes you're tempted to think, maybe has the Lord abandoned me? I'm suffering this injustice. Has the Lord forsaken me? Has the Lord abandoned me? And here is the word from the Lord. The Lord will not forsake his people. The Lord will not abandon them. So you are never forsaken. You are never abandoned, regardless of the heat, right, how hot your testing may be, how hot your trial is. The Lord is with you. And he upholds you. Right, verse 17, if the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. And verse 18, when I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. And sometimes you might think, this is too much. You know, it's like you're hanging on a cliff and you've been there for feels like too long, and you're starting to lose your grip. I just can't take it anymore. And the psalmist says, I was at that point, and when I said, oh, my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, was holding me up. You were supporting me. And then he goes on, when the cares of my heart are many, O Lord, your consolations cheer my soul. Your consolations cheer my soul. Are the cares and the anxieties of your heart this morning many? The Lord consoles you. His consolations cheer your soul. Now that word in the Hebrew is literally like comfort paddings. If you think about young children, when your older sibling does something nasty to you, right? They hit you and you're hurt, or maybe you're at school and you've been bullied. And what do? You go home and you cry to your mom and she hugs you and she starts patting your back. It's okay. And you know you're safe. Well, the Lord comforts his people. When you cry out to him, he cheers you. Now, how does the Lord cheer you? He cheers you in many ways. But one of the ways he cheers you is through his word. He speaks to you those comforts in his word. He comforts you with the future, with the fact that he is the judge and he will bring about justice through his word. And that's why the psalmist said earlier, blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you instruct, who you teach out of your law. So when you're going through your trials, go to the Word. The Lord comforts you as he speaks to you. the Lord will cheer you. Now, you know, the Lord Jesus, you have a Savior who knows what it's like to face injustice. You know, you have a Savior who knows what it's like to be surrounded by cares and anxious thoughts. Remember the Lord in the garden, sweating drops of blood. Oh, Lord, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But listen to what he says to his disciples as he's going into this trial. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered. He's speaking the night of his betrayal. Each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet, I am not alone. For the Father is with me. And I have said these things to you, that in you, that in me, you may have peace too. So the Lord Jesus knew what it was like to go through that injustice, to go through that suffering, to feel like he had been forsaken. And yet, he said, when my friends left me and I was all alone, defenseless, helpless, I was not alone because the Father was with me. And I'm telling you this now so that by believing in me, you may have the same peace. Because when you believe in me, I am with you. When I am with you, God is with you. So the Lord gives comfort to those who are afflicted. But finally, the Lord gives hope. This psalm gives hope to those who are mistreated and afflicted. Because at the end here, right, the psalmist asks the question, right, he calls with the Lord, oh Lord, bring justice, rise up. And then he asks the question, when I feel like I'm around, when I'm mistreated, who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will bring justice? Lord, you've not called me to bring justice. Who's going to bring justice? And then he answers that question, the Lord God will make things right. He will bring justice. Can wicked rulers be allied with you, those who frame injustice by statute? They band together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my stronghold. He's my refuge. And as I find refuge in him, I know that he will bring back on them their iniquity. He will wipe them out for their wickedness. The Lord our God will wipe them out. The Lord will remove all of the wicked and all wickedness from creation. And that's what the Lord showed when he raised Jesus from the dead. When Paul was preaching in Athens, he says, be sure of this, the Lord has appointed a day when he is going to come and he's going to make all things right. And he's going to do that through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead, all things will be made right. But so-and-so has been wronged. I was wronged. It's just not right that the wicked can boast and get away with it. Who will bring justice? The Lord will bring justice. He will bring justice on that day. But as we close, I want to ask an important question. If the Lord is the one who's the God of vengeances and he will bring justice, why doesn't he do it now? Well, we've already looked at how he uses this to bless his own people, to instruct them, to teach them. But the boasts say, the Lord does not see, right? They see, we do these things and we get away with it. The Lord doesn't care. Well, that was the same thing that the Apostle Peter says people were saying in his day. And the Apostle Peter said, people will continue to say this. As we preach that the Lord is coming again to judge the living and the dead, people are going to say, well, show me the sign that he's going to bring justice. Where is the Lord? I don't see the Lord coming. But Peter says, oh, the Lord is not slow to bring justice, as some people count it. The Lord is not asleep on the job. No. Why doesn't, the Lord is not missing in action. Why doesn't the Lord bring that judgment now? Because of his mercy. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that they should repent and turn to him and live. And you know, the Lord Jesus is the one who's going to sit on the throne in judgment on that last day when God shines forth, the God of vengeance shines forth. But when Jesus came the first time, he didn't come here to condemn the world, but he came so that through him the world might be saved. And because who here could say we have no wickedness in us? Who here could say we are perfectly innocent? None of us. But when the Lord Jesus came the first time, and he shed his blood, he went to that cross and stood under the just wrath of God, so that those who run to him and cling to his cross would not come under the judgment in the last day. And so maybe you're here this morning and you think, you know what? I've been a perpetrator of injustice. Flee to the cross. Jesus says, I shed my blood so that you might be saved. You might not come under that judgment. So, what do you do when you are gripped by the injustices that you see in your own life, that you experience, when you're mistreated, when you see the wicked getting away with their oppression and boasting about it? You go to the Lord in prayer. You go to the Lord in prayer. You go to his word for comfort. You gather with his people in worship to be reminded that God is the one who will bring justice. But he's not only the God of justice, but he's the God of mercy. And he is the God who is with his people in their affliction. And he will bring about that day when he makes all things right. Let's pray. O Lord God, you who are the righteous one, we thank you that you indeed will make all things right one day. We thank you that even now, Lord, you are with us. And we pray that you would help us to turn to you, to entrust ourselves in your hands, to entrust justice into your hands, that we might know and have confidence that the judge of the earth will do right. And we pray that, Lord, in the midst of our sufferings and trials, that you indeed would instruct us, that you would teach us from your word, and that you would grow us, Lord, up so that we might become like our older brother, the Lord Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.